The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach John Fox, the coaching staff and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by Comcast, North Shore University Health System, PNC, and Miller Lite. Now, from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome to PNC Studio at Hallis Hall here in Lake Forest. Jeff Joniak and the head coach John Fox with you until 7:30 tonight. Man, what a couple of 24 hours here, I guess. Get right down to it. You lose the game. You lose a turnover battle, and that really was the fly in the ointment of the whole thing. When you basically break it down, those three turnovers are killer, and then all the injury news on top of it. So last night and today, kind of nuts.
Yeah, it's definitely keeps you busy. Yeah, I think you hit it on the head, Jeff, as far as the turnovers. And, you know, it was a game in the first half, and then, we come out in the second half and have three giveaways. We have no takeaways, and, you know, I think that's why the score was where it was.
29-14, the final, throwing a missed field goal on top of it, and you had some chances. You were in the red zone, I think, three times. Conversely, and we'll get to the injuries in a moment, conversely, there were silver linings, and I know people don't want to hear about the silver linings when you start 0-2 and so forth, but the defense actually made a lot of plays out there, and there were some of your younger players in the secondary coming in and making some big red zone stops. You're 50% touchdown efficiency in the red zone. There were waves of pressure at key points in that second half where I thought, man, this is going to be something. Now there was big push from your defensive line. So there were some good things.
Yeah, I think third down was an area that we didn't do so well in Houston, and I think we turned that around. I think they were 3 of 12 for 20%. You can live with those numbers but when you take those three giveaways and get field position, I think you're giving away points.
All right, forced to send Jay Cutler to the sidelines with a thumb sprain in that game. So you mentioned it today at the news conference here at Hallis Hall. Still some mystery surrounding it in terms of what his availability might be moving forward, correct?
Yeah, I think we're in a day-to-day mode. It doesn't require surgery. We'll kind of see where that takes us. Brian Hoyer will get time tomorrow. We'll have to prep him in preparation, and we'll see what happens as the week wears on.
With something like this, it's good to have a veteran in your backup role, right?
Yeah, I thought Brian came in and moved the team. We did have a fumble there by Jeremy Langford. I think to kind of thwart one of those drives, it would have been nice to see him be able to take the team down and score, but unfortunately that didn't happen.
And nobody knows exactly, without speaking to Jay, when it actually happened, but it seems like it's something he played with in that game.
I think, he's had some thumb issues in the past. I know 5 years ago, we were here to play, in fact, with another team, and, he was on the shelf and kind of rehabbing that. But I'm not sure where he banged it and what exactly happened. But, like a lot of the players, the medical people come to us on the sideline. They say he's out, and they usually say, what body part's the issue, and we put Brian Hoyer in.
Did you notice anything about Jay's throws throughout the course of the game that maybe set a fire alarm off in your head?
Well, I think, there's probably a couple that were a little short. I couldn't tell, in live mode whether it was pressure or not, but, nothing really outlandish, ball didn't just flop out of his hand or, something crazy, but, the medical people came to us and said he's not able to go, and so we went with Brian.
And you get Hoyer, who had significant experience last year with the Texans and obviously knows Dowell Loggins from their Cleveland days, so that's a good mix, and that's part of the reason he wanted to come here was Dowell Loggins. He made a great point. The Texans last year started 0-2 and 2-5 and went to the playoffs, and Brian Hoyer was running the show.
Yeah, I think if you look around the league and even some of my experiences, we started 0-4 in San Diego and won 11 of our next 12. So last year Kansas City started 1-5 and they made it into the playoffs, and it's not how you start. We do have some injuries and nobody comes rescues you. We have to have some guys step up and accept that responsibility and that opportunity.
Quarterback on one side of the ball, the offense. Quarterback on the other side of the ball. What's with the thumbs? I mean, Danny Trevathan needs surgery. That's another ouch.
Well, I think we didn't announce that one at the end of the game. Didn't know about it till long after the game. In fact, I was still in my locker room and when they came to me and told me that. The docs look at it this morning, and I think they're going to go with surgery, and he'll be week to week following that surgery. I think he gets surgery tomorrow morning.
Easier, I put this in context, easier for him to come back from something like that versus a quarterback.
Oh, obviously. Yeah. When it's on your throwing hand, I mean, to grip a football, Danny said he can barely pick up his cell phone. So he can't imagine trying to throw a football either.
Yeah, exactly. And then, Eddie Goldman, I've had him circled from day one this offseason. He looked really good. He was given that center last night fits, and he comes up with an ankle injury. Are you concerned about the length of that duration?
Yeah, I think I hate putting timelines on it. I think last year when Jay strained his hamstring, they said he'd be 4 weeks.
It was one game.
It was 1 week. You get reports and this and that and the other.
There's a lot of stuff out there right now,
yeah.
Big John.
I mean, it's
you do know that, right?
Yeah, but there's no accountability. We have to actually be accountable.
And then, we can go through the whole list, but I'll just wrap it up for you. Lamar Houston, that one doesn't look good with the knee, obviously.
No, I mean, we did finally, about 1 o'clock today, got the MRI results back. He did tear his ACL, and that will cost him his season.
Okay, and then Bryce Callahan, Adrian Amos, both in concussion protocol, so that'll be wait and see. And Kadeem Carey had to leave the game with a hamstring, but that guy's a warrior. He could be back out there before you know it as well. In that light, though, you got all these guys now getting other opportunities, and some of them were on that field yesterday and made some big plays in that secondary. And Bryce Callahan made a heck of a game or touchdown saving play in the secondary, and so did DeAndre Hall. Those are big plays when the field condenses, when you got to make your money, and they made some big plays right there. It gives you a lot of hope.
Yeah, I think, probably one of the bright spots early in the season has been some of the young secondary play. I think with Kyle Fuller out, you mentioned Bryce Callahan, DeAndre Hall. And really,
Jacoby Glenn. We'll talk about him too. Yeah,
keeps making plays. So, that is a bright spot, and we'll continue to try to build on it.
Paul Lasique released this afternoon. I think you played 24 snaps in the first two games. You like the idea of a fullback this year? Do you think you'll stay in that direction, or who knows?
Well, we'll see. Whether he clears waivers. You always have to go through that process, and we'll tweak the roster moving forward as we see fit.
All right, we continue on with John Fox coming up on 6:38. We'll talk about Eddie Royal. We will talk about Jacoby Glenn. I know a lot of folks know about his background and what he's doing with the Bears right now, but he had a very strong performance yesterday leading the team in tackle.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Here's the punt, nearly blocked. Good pressure. Here's the boot. Royal gives it a look, backs up to his 35, runs right, jumps out of a tackle. Now trying to get some momentum, runs right to the 40. Being chased, slips at the 45 to midfield. Watch blockers down the sideline. He's got some guys. He's to the 15, to the 10, 5, end zone, touchdown! Touchdown, Eddie Royal! A punt return of 65 yards. Touchdown, Eddie!
Yeah, that was the Xfinity Player of the Game brought to you by Xfinity. Eddie Royal, welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show here at the Chicago Bears Network Studios, the PNC Studios. Jeff Joniak with head coach John Fox. Man, he's had some fresh legs and some really big plays on both sides of the ball, and that was good to see. That veteran punt returner who can get you something gives confidence to the whole special teams unit. I think it lights a fire on everybody.
Yeah, he's had two big returns really the last 2 weeks. And, in the Houston game, set up a potential field goal and then, taking one to the house last night was obviously a good play. And he's played well on offense. Hasn't had as many touches as we'd like, but he's gotten open and made plays.
Yeah, and I don't care when it happens, too. I mean, people can say, hey, it was late in the game when everything decided. It could have changed a lot of things. It really could have.
Well, it did spark us. Unfortunately, I think the following driver might have had the fumble. But you're trying to score points, and unfortunately we haven't got off of 14 the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, the where you play him, people just like to just pencil him in as a slot guy, but you can play him outside too. So, and he likes that. Obviously, he doesn't want to just be penciled in as just a slot guy.
Yeah, he's a good route runner, and he does have good speed, and he comes out of breaks well. So, we've lined him up both in the slot as well as outside.
All right, a rough first series, obviously, and then you do rebound, though. That was good to see. And like you said, the second halves haven't been great. So just three touchdown drives and 23 possessions points to a lot of different things. Obviously, turnovers, but also all these new players on the offensive side of the ball. You need time together. You're not getting the snaps so far in the first two games, just 104.
Yeah, I think, really, whether it's been first half, second half, we've kind of shot ourselves in the foot, whether it's been turnovers, whether it's been execution, whether it's been false starts, you name it, we've done it, and we've got to get it cleaned up quickly.
And rushing attempts, obviously, everybody wants those too. You know, cart before the horse. I don't know how to define it because, you need certain things to happen for the game to unfold the way you want running the ball. But, you just can't run it 17 straight times. I guess you can, but... I mean, but you would certainly, that's the plan, is for you to run the ball a lot more.
Well, I think, in both games, to start the season, we've been behind, in the last quarter and a half. And that's where your rush totals get skewed, whether you're with the lead or without the lead, because typically if you're trying to save time, you're throwing the ball because it's less time consuming. So that does lower your runs.
I wanted to talk about Jacoby Glenn. So the second-year player from Central Florida, I have it right, Central Florida. They have so many schools down there now. I can't remember all the directional schools down in Florida, but the Central Florida kid, undrafted last year, came out as a redshirt sophomore. But this kid was tied for the national lead in pass breakups and interceptions in his redshirt sophomore year. He left a lot earlier than most kids do. He was the age to do it, but... he stepped in, and he shows one thing. He is not afraid of contact, and he's a sure tackler. He had some really nice hits in the run game and some open field tackles against some pretty nifty receivers yesterday.
Yeah, he has no problem sticking his nose in there with no regard for his body. And he's very competitive. I think he's got the skill set. He's got some length. Again, he can get stronger and bigger as we go. But he's a guy that's definitely caught our eye so far this season.
Overall, Alshon Jeffrey, 7 catches for 178 yards in the first two halves of the first two games of the season. So it does create opportunities for the rest of the offense if things starts, continuity-wise, start heading in the right direction. He loosens things up significantly, doesn't he?
Yeah, no doubt. I think, he's obviously an impact guy. He's got that rep in the league. And, it didn't take long for opposing defensive coordinators to start doubling him. And we just need to get better on the other side and, really get more consistent play in our passing game, whether it's in protection or with our quarterback play. Obviously, getting our run game going definitely helps that as well.
You've got some emotional players in that locker room. You want that. You want those guys. There's Danny. There's Jarrell Freeman. There's Purnell, obviously. There's Willie. There's a lot of guys. There's some on the offensive side of the ball, too, obviously, and Kyle Long. I think Josh Sitton will be that type of player. Alshon's starting to be that type of player. None of them want to hear about what the situation is in terms of their record right now. A lot of them are not used to losing. That's one thing I heard about yesterday. How do you cultivate that and use it to your advantage?
Well, you want them to take ownership. And I think, they take pride in that. We take pride, in the team room of, being able to talk about everything. You know what I mean? So like a family. So they're going to, a lot was made on some disagreements or whatever was caught on camera. And, those things happen. I think, obviously there are a lot of competitive people and, there's a lot of emotion and guys want to win. I know it's frustrating. I know it was frustrating for our players to be, at home. It was a very electric crowd. Onset, shoot the national anthem. it was crazy. So, I think, our guys really feel for our fans and, we didn't have a very good home record last year, actually pretty miserable and wasn't a good start last night.
For those who question it, like the Purnell, and Jay, approaching Jay and so forth, when does it cross the line in your opinion as a coach? I mean, it's football, so the toughness and the whole thing about football, I mean, that's part of it. But for you as a coach, when does it say, okay, you got to hold back?
Well, I think as long as it's, within our team, not on the outside, not with the media, sometimes things are caught, on television. That's just part of what we do. But, it's not a big deal. I think everybody understands it. Jay even said, he's good with it, So, we pull for each other and, there's no problem with encouraging or talking to a teammate.
Now, more of the Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Snap is back, blitz is on, throwing over the middle, broken up and nearly intercepted. Broken up on third down. DeAndre Hall comes in and breaks it up. The rookie out of Northern Iowa. Fourth down, Eagles tapped it away from the tight end over the middle in the end zone.
And that was what we referred to earlier. Welcome back to the show. DeAndre Hall preventing a touchdown pass with the breakup. And those young players, you know, I just want to see him keep getting those reps and building confidence, right?
No doubt. You know, I think, you know, he comes in, you know, sometimes down the red area. He does have great length. You know, he has great height as well as very, very long arms. And on that play, that was a very important play that set up fourth down.
All right, so let's take a look at the Cowboys. I'm sure you already had to last night, late night for you. And it's on the road, obviously, defending Dak Prescott right now. Another young quarterback behind an outstanding offensive line. He has time to throw. He did get pressured in the Redskin game, showed some poise in that regard, too. He has not thrown an interception, just like the rookie Carson Wentz is not. That's impactful in the NFL these days. They keep those numbers. What can you tell us about him? I mean, he's running around back there and making a name for himself.
I think he's done an outstanding job. But now he's, you know, got a pretty good supporting cast.
Yeah.
You know, I think you mentioned the offensive line. I think they have three first-rounders up there and, you know, a Pro Bowl tight end in Witten. You know, Ezekiel Elliott is a running back that's, that was a first-round pick. You know, Dez Bryant outside. So he's done an outstanding job, and they're an outstanding offense.
Yeah. He has not thrown a touchdown pass yet that they won. It's crazy with some of the ways you can win games. The Rams have still not scored a touchdown, but they got to win. The Seahawks are obviously struggling to score touchdowns. So it's not just it's just not just a symptom of one franchise, obviously. Things are headed in that direction in some cities. How do you defend Dez Bryant, assuming that you got everybody healthy? If not, it's going to be a challenge of his length and his ability and those intermediate to deep zones that he can really dominate.
Well, I mean, it's really kind of old school Cowboys. I go way back to my days at the Giants, you know, where they had, you know, Emmitt Smith and the ability to run the ball and had Michael Irvin outside. So, you know, kind of they're built similar to the same way. You know, they try to get you into eight-man boxes or single high safeties, so you got a one-on-one people. You can't do that a lot with Dez Bryant out there. And so, you know, you just got to mix and match. And, you know, much like we've done on defense the last couple of weeks, you know, with their top guys, and much like they do to Alshon, that, you know, anybody we play against. So you're going to have those kind of guys in this league, and every team's got them.
And Witten just keeps on rolling. He don't run as well as he did, but, man, is he savvy out there.
Yeah, he's got a good feel for the game. He's obviously a good blocker, and, you know, he's done it at a high level for a long time.
All right, so our old friend Rod Marinelli, a coordinator of that Cowboys defense, we know that means stunts and twists and all those games up front, and his whole idea is, you know, get off that line of scrimmage. But you can use that to your advantage, too, you know, to make them pay for that, too.
Yeah, I think, you know, they've got a young defense as well, a lot of new faces, much like our defense. But they're playing hard and playing aggressive, and Rod Marinelli, coach defense, always does.
And you've been in that building. It's massive with a young team that has never walked into something like that because it is a spectacle. It's too big, in my opinion. It's just too much. It's just too much. It's a sensory overload, right? The biggest scoreboard in the National Football. You can watch the whole game, just not even look at the field. Is that good for a young team? Is it? You start looking around. I mean, how do you manage that even on a game day like that in that type of building?
Well, I think, you know, again, it's it is a big stadium. There's no doubt. It's got a unique way to come out to the field.
You're walking through the fans enjoying cocktails, right? It's just the weirdest thing. I mean, literally, you're walking past people. They could reach out and touch you.
Yeah, and it is different. You know, the idea of the replay and the scoreboard or, you know, the video boards being, you know, more over your head than in the end zone is a little bit different. But, yeah, I think all in all, I mean, the field's still the same, and our guys will adapt well.
So you're going to get asked about this, I guess, throughout the course of the week. How do you prevent what appears from the outside as a bleak outlook when you got all this confidence still in your room and you got leaders making everybody, hey, we got to believe. How do you keep that centered?
Well, I think, you know, again, something I've lived by is, you know, tough times don't last, tough people do. And, you know, really the things in life that happen, I mean, either you give up or give in or give it your all. So we just got to work harder and, you know, I think we've got the right mindset, and our guys will respond.
All right. Practice tomorrow. Challenging week to get ready for the Cowboys.
No doubt. Short week. Coming off of Monday night's always difficult, but probably our best performance a year ago was in St. Louis coming off of Monday night.
Very good. Thank you, John.
All right. You're welcome.
That's Bears head coach John Fox. Coming up next, we'll be joined by tight ends coach Frank Smith.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox. And this hour featuring tight ends coach Frank Smith. Brought to you by Verizon, North Shore University Health System, United Airlines, and Miller Lite. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
Stay together. We understand, you know, when you start 0-2 and put that product on the football field, we understand, you know, what's going to be said. We understand what is to come of it. But we can't let that affect us at all.
That is Bears tight end Zach Miller following last night's loss to the Philadelphia Eagles. Welcome back to the program. His position coach Frank Smith now joining the program, and he's got it in the right context, and I'm sure that was a big part of the locker room last night after the game, just staying together, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, and with him, and I always tell you, I think he's an underrated leader on this football team by virtue of the fact he was a quarterback
right.
in his days. So when he speaks, I mean, I think people listen, right?
Yeah. He's been central figure in our room for his leadership, and he's been steadfast in just knowing that what the mission is and making sure that every day we continue to grow and get better and never allow one day, one effort to define us, you know. So I know that what he was saying is completely true, and that's all we can do is come back out tomorrow, put some days together, and then focus on each day at a time and then get ready for this Sunday.
The media is there's no access to the assistant coaches other than this show during the course of the regular season after a game, but you often hear obviously from the head coach and all the players' reactions. How does it hit the assistants? How does it hit the coaching staff? A game like last night?
Well, it's just one of those where, you know, where you don't get the result you were looking for. Come back, retool, assess, and make the corrections we need to do, and reestablish what we're trying to do, our game plan, just work on all the little details and stuff like that that are correctable, and just stacking days together. You know, don't look for, you know, too far long term. It's next day, next day, next day. And as long as you keep things small and working on the little aspects of everything, that's how you translate it to Sunday.
Is it easy for players to do that, or do they, like most people, it's only human to think bigger picture?
Yeah, and you tend to sometimes naturally go towards that, where you start looking at the season as all-encompassing and how you got to get to the result you want, instead of just remembering that it starts with this game, and you can only affect the immediate future. You can't affect what happens in a month, 2 months. So just making sure that you take each day as an opportunity to get better, and you work at what you have to do, what you had to correct from the last game, or what the next game plan is going to require. And as you go Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you take that and getting ready for Sunday.
Yeah, the unique aspect of this one, every team in the league has to deal with it. As an assistant, you're doing two things at once, essentially,
right?
Because you're getting ready for the Cowboys.
Yep.
While you're getting ready for the Eagles, and you guys did do that last week as well. That's quite a juggling act, obviously, but it's a part of the deal.
Yeah, it's just part of the process, and, you know, we as coaches know that. So how you manage your time and your preparations, gravely important. But we have guys on this staff who are very detailed, know how to handle our stuff, so we are able to process one thing to the next very, you know, very well.
So far in the first 2 weeks, how has defenses in Houston and Philadelphia affected the tight end position?
Well, they posed some good challenges for us. I mean, one being the 34 defense in Houston, and some stout guys in the edge who had the ability to rush the passer, so that was a challenge in itself just because it was a different style of defense. And then we play now the wide nine technique that Philadelphia plays, and it's coming out of a three-point stance. So very similar in how it's targeted, but it's different in how it plays out. So it is a challenge from you go from one technique to the next to the next. But at the same time, you know, that's why we're here, being able to handle the changes well and adjust and adapt.
The Bears Coaches Show with tight ends coach Frank Smith and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
You know, I think everyone's probably a little taken back at what happened during that game. We had a good game plan. I know down the coaches are putting together a good game plan. They're calling good games. It's kind of one thing after another that just kills drives.
That's Bears quarterback Jay Cutler following last night's loss to the Philadelphia Eagles. He now is going to be questionable with a thumb sprain that was suffered in that game against the Eagles. So Brian Hoyer may be needed, and he will get ready with practice tomorrow. We'll hear Bears tight end coach Frank Smith. And that is unfortunate, obviously, but you got a veteran quarterback, should he be needed to play moving forward and against the Cowboys, that your team is familiar with after this offseason and preseason. And he's been around the block, was a starting quarterback last year in the NFL, and has had a pretty good starting record as a quarterback.
Yeah. Brian has proven to be a very savvy veteran player, and regardless of whatever occurs, we know we'll be good.
All right, let's break down your tight end position man by man. I like to do that with all the position coaches, see where they're at. With Zach, obviously, an emerging player after his big plays last season, got the new contract and really taking on, as we indicated a couple of segments ago, a leadership role for this team. And it'll be good to see him when you get him the ball.
Yeah, Zach has proven to be a very reliable player who's been able to do multiple things for us. So, I mean, can't say enough about the guy. Because he's great to work with every day, approaches every day like a professional. And, you know, he's excited to get back to work to perfect his craft to get ready for Sunday.
We don't know much about Logan Paulson other than his career with the Washington Redskins, but I met him last week for the first time, had a great conversation with him. Really a smart guy and enthusiastic and a rugged player, inline blocker, who can also do some other things for you.
Yeah, he's been.
You're grinning. Why?
No, he's just he's been a great addition for us with his ability to block in line and pass protection and run blocking, and his football intelligence, his ability to pick up this offense so quickly and to be able to jump in and contribute quickly is really a testament to him.
And then Greg Scruggs, the guy you're trying to reinvent as a tight end, the former defensive lineman.
Yeah.
And I did a story on this last week for the Bears pregame show on radio. I was walking past the locker room in Houston right before kickoff, and I hear some guy just blood-curdling screaming going on. And here it's Greg Scruggs giving a motivational speech to his teammates. This guy's fiery, man.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard him do this?
Yes, I haven't heard the scream per se, but his passion is towards this game, and his craft is unquestioned. I mean, he approaches every day with an unbelievable level of enthusiasm, effort, energy that is contagious towards anyone who's around him.
Yeah, so he likes that. He just says, you know, he thinks about it on the way to the stadium, what he's going to tell the team, and he takes that seriously. So learned that from Red Bryant, I guess, the former defensive tackle of the Seattle Seahawks. So he brings it.
He does, and he's I'm fortunate that all three of them possess such great approach to their craft and their profession. And Greg, his work ethic is second to none. I mean, how hard he has worked to learn the position in such a short period of time and be at a level where each day he's getting better and learning at the same time. So I mean, his work ethic and how he's approached it's been awesome.
So there's going to be growth there, too. That's the thing exciting about it with him. There's going to be growth there at learning the specific techniques and getting that become consistent.
Yes, and from even last week to this week, you can see growth. So he's been, I mean, just hungry to learn, hungry to work, which is a great combination, especially when you're talented as he is. So he's been really a lot of fun to work with as a coach.
One of the more unique guys to come into the Bears organization the last few years, given his background educationally, was Ben Broniker. But he was sidelined, obviously, in the preseason. He's on the practice squad right now. How do you work with him each week and giving him, I know he does scout team and so forth, he can be a perfect complement to a team that has a good run tight end to run the slot and so forth, that you can get your defense ready. But what are you doing with Ben?
Ben, you know, due to the lack of from training camp, but he now, you know, gets a lot of the scout work and stuff. But, you know, when we get our extra time to be able to work technical stuff, learning how to play the position at this level, he's another guy that understands that every day there's an opportunity to learn, opportunity to work, and he embraces that. So It was just funny because his background, you know, where he went to school and all that stuff is, you know, highlighted. And when we first met, you know, we're talking about a lot of things. My brother went to Harvard too and played football there. So there's a lot of common stuff, stories and stuff, you know, that we're able to share that, you know, you can break the ice really quickly and understand that, you know, we're going to work and understanding that you have someone who understands a little bit where you came from, how you learn, how you're going to approach things. So I'm excited to work with him every day because you can see the growth and his potential.
It's Frank Smith, the Bears tight end coach. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears with Anthony Adams and Lorden Screeden, airing every Sunday night at 11:05 on Fox 32 Chicago. Or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears or watch segments on the Chicago Bears official mobile app.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox continues exclusively on the home of the Bears. News Radio on 105.9 FM, WBBM.
All right, back with our final segment on the Bears Coaches Show here in the PNC studio at Hallis Hall. Jeff Joniak and Frank Smith, the Bears tight ends coach, talking about where this team's headed now. Okay, we got the Dallas Cowboys coming up, and you're digging into that. You'll be working late tonight with the possibility you're going to have a new quarterback run on the show, potentially, if Jay Cutler's thumb is not able to respond here in the coming days. But that experience certainly should settle down the offense a little bit. It's not like you're just putting somebody that hasn't played there before, potentially.
Yeah, whatever happens will happen, and regardless of what that does, you know, every position is just going to work on what they can do for the game and how each guy can get better at their techniques, their craft for Sunday.
You know, as you sit with Dowell Loggins, you put together these game plans as a staff, you have ideas in your mind how things are going to go, and you shoot for, I mean, you want some 70-something plays. That would be a complete game plan. You haven't had that opportunity. It's got to be a frustrating deal for you, only 104 snaps in two games.
Yeah, I mean, each game plays out a little different. I mean, all you can really do is just, regardless of what happened in previous games, all you can do is keep focusing on what you know will help this unit, your unit, the offense, be successful. So whatever Dowell does, you know, it's our job to help him assemble the game plan and piece it together so we can have that game we're looking for. And it'll, you know, if we keep working at it, it will come sooner than later.
If it's a situation like yesterday where you run 50 plays, are you really getting into your game plan, or is it just not getting the full complement of it?
Well, I mean, you know, as the game go, whether you have a lead or you're behind, you know, sometimes the game will shift and what's required of it. But the biggest thing, regardless of, you know, you have 50 plays or you have 80 plays, it's just making the most of the opportunities that you are provided, because, you know, there's been games where offenses have had 50 plays and they come out successful and the other side of the ball had a lot more plays. It's just whatever presents itself is just making the most of those situations.
What'd you learn about the Cowboys so far?
Just learned many things. They're very well coached, and they're a good football team, and it'll be a challenge for us that we're looking forward to this Sunday in Texas.
A little bit off topic, but still football related, because those of you who don't know Frank Smith, he was an offensive lineman for Ben Roethlisberger at the Miami of Ohio, and they were an outstanding winning football team. And Tom Thayer, my broadcast partner, yesterday we're talking about it in pregame, watching that Bengals game, and I go, man, did you see Roethlisberger? It is amazing what this, how I honestly think he's underrated in the National Football League. What he does at his size and how he's able to lead that football team, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to see him do the same stuff in college. So he's been a very talented guy his entire life. I mean, he's a high school point guard, and I just do always remember in college when – there were a couple guys on the football team who play on the IM basketball team, and whenever they were playing the other guys, all of a sudden they see Ben handling the ball up the court. They're waiting for him to pass it, and next thing you know, he's taking them off the dribble and hitting a jump shot right in their face because they're not expecting this massive guy to be able to handle the point like he did. So he's a very athletic guy. Shoot, I remember he picked up golf in college with our head coach, and next thing you know, he was shooting better than him after, like, you know, one season of playing. So
special.
Yeah, he's just one of those guys.
All right, Frank, thanks for your time.
My pleasure.
That's Bears tight end coach Frank Smith. Now back to John Fox. He reviews last night's loss and look ahead to today.
You know, it was a game in the first half, and then, you know, we come out in the second half and have three giveaways. We have no takeaways, and, you know, I think that's why the score was where it was.
29-14, the final, throwing a missed field goal on top of it, and you had some chances. You were in the red zone, I think, three times. Conversely, and we'll get to the injuries in a moment, conversely, there were silver linings, and I know people don't want to hear about the silver linings when you start 0-2 and so forth, but the defense actually made a lot of plays out there, and there were some of your younger players in the secondary coming in and making some big red zone stops. You're 50% touchdown efficiency in the red zone. There were waves of pressure at key points in that second half where I thought, man, this is going to be something. Now there was big push from your defensive line, so there were some good things.
Yeah, I think third down was an area that we didn't do so well in Houston, and I think we turned that around. I think they were 3 of 12 for 20%. You can live with those numbers, but when you take those, three giveaways and, get field position, I think you're giving away points.
All right. Forced to send Jay Cutler to the sidelines with a thumb sprain in that game. So you mentioned it today at the news conference here at Hallis Hall. Still some mystery surrounding it in terms of what his availability might be moving forward, correct?
Yeah, I think, we're in a day-to-day mode. It doesn't require surgery. We'll kind of see where that takes us. Brian Hoyer will, get time tomorrow. We'll have to prep him in preparation, and, we'll see what happens as the week wears on.
With something like this, it's good to have a veteran in your backup role, right?
Yeah, I thought Brian came in and moved the team. We did have a fumble there by Jeremy Langford. I think to kind of thwart one of those drives, it would have been nice to see him be able to take the team down and score, but unfortunately that didn't happen.
And nobody knows exactly, without speaking to Jay, when it actually happened, but it seems like it's something he played with in that game.
He's had some thumb issues in the past. I know 5 years ago, we were here to play, in fact, with another team, and, he was on the shelf and kind of rehabbing that. But I'm not sure where he banged it and what exactly happened. But, like a lot of the players, the medical people come to us on the sideline, they say he's out, and they usually say, what body part's the issue, and we put Brian Hoyer in.
Did you notice anything about Jay's throws throughout the course of the game that maybe set a fire alarm off in your head?
Well, I think, there's probably a couple that were a little short. I couldn't tell, in live mode whether it was pressure or not, but, nothing really outlandish. Ball didn't just flop out of his hand or, something crazy, but, the medical people came to us and said he's not able to go, and so we went with Brian.
And you get Hoyer, who had significant experience last year with the Texans and obviously knows Dowell Loggins from their Cleveland days, so that's a good mix, and that's part of the reason he wanted to come here was Dowell Loggins. He made a great point. The Texans last year started 0-2 and 2-5 and went to the playoffs, and Brian Hoyer was running the show.
Yeah, I think if you look around the league and even some of my experiences, we started 0-4 in San Diego and won 11 of our next 12. So last year Kansas City started 1-5 and they made it into the playoffs, and it's not how you start. We do have some injuries and nobody comes rescues you. We have to have some guys step up and accept that responsibility and that opportunity.
Quarterback on one side of the ball, the offense. Quarterback on the other side of the ball. What's with the thumbs? I mean, Danny Trevathan needs surgery. That's another ouch.
Well, I think we didn't announce that one at the end of the game. Didn't know about it till long after the game. In fact, I was still in my locker room and when they came to me and told me that. The docs look at it this morning, and I think they're going to go with surgery, and he'll be week to week following that surgery. I think he gets surgery tomorrow morning.
That's Bears head coach John Fox wrapping up tonight's coaches show from PNC Studio at Hallis Hall. If you're coming to the next three Bears home games, check out the Miller Lite Chicago Bears Ultimate Tailgate brought to you by Chicago Tribune Sports Plus, starting 2.5 hours before kickoff right outside of Soldier Field. For John Fox, Frank Smith, Greg Miller, our producer, Andy Gersher, and Keith Johnson, I'm Jeff Joniak. Bears Cowboys, 4:30 pregame, 7:30 kickoff. This is News Radio 780 at 105.9 FM, WVBM. Good night, everybody.